Start off with 1 Thessalonians, and you guys know these verses, most of the verses. But there's some things that you need to see in them that we overpass. 1 Thessalonians 5, of course, we're going to go to verse 16. Okay, verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. So we're going to start there. This is also a pattern that the Lord has given me for prayer. Every single day, every morning he's given me, I've asked him to teach me how to pray, and these are just things that he's brought to me. So I like to get alone with God every morning, though I'm wore out. Do I look tired? If not, believe me you when I tell you, I'm slap wore out. But I force myself up every day because I need that alone time with God. I'm not feeling good. I thought I was going to puke this morning. I just, it's everything all in one. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. And but I like to be here. And so anyway, it says this. Let's just start off. Rejoice evermore. It doesn't say when things are good. It doesn't say when you're on that mountaintop. He says rejoice evermore. And in times like this, this is when we're supposed to be happy. And I'll explain to you. Let me get to the next verse. The next verse says pray without ceasing. That means all day long you pray, pray, and pray. Not just for yourself. There's other people out there. Brother Randy Wilbur, the Vernons. Shouldn't we be praying for them all day? Shouldn't we be praying for what's going on in their families? Should we be praying? That's something we should pray for them. Then the very next verse, verse 18, says, in everything give thanks. Not in some things. In everything. Lord, thank you for my truck breaking down. Thank you for the turmoil that's going on in my family. Thank you for the sickness. Thank you for what you're showing me and my family and my life through these things. Thank you that for whatever reason, Brother Randy Wilbur's son is where he's at right now. There's a reason. We can't get that into our head. But he says, be thankful in all things. Here's when people are thankful, Randy, when things are going good. That's when they're really thankful. But what about the times that they're not so good? What's that verse say? That doesn't say all things? Doesn't say just some things. Doesn't say when you feel like it. It says all things. And that's one of the lessons that the Lord has been teaching me, that when things are going bad, thank Him. There's a reason. I may not see it and I may not totally understand it, but just thank Him. Okay?
Can I give a bit of a funny story if I may?
It is relevant though.
A few weeks ago, I was saying to God, thank you for the mental health that came to me when my mother left. Because I thought to myself later, if I can get through that, I can be pretty much prepared for whatever else life throws at me.
Good. And here's this. Why am I thankful for things that are going wrong? Because it highlights all the good things God's done for me. I mean, it blows it up. And I'll sit there and I'll thank God for all the things that are going wrong in our life. And as I'm doing that, side-by-side comparisons going on in my head, and I'm like, oh my goodness, but, oh my goodness, but. So being thankful for the things that go wrong highlights everything that he's done right. Why? Be thankful for all things for what? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will for your life right now. As much as me and my family don't like to be where Brother Wilbur is at, where the Vernons is, where they're at, it's that right there, where they are right now, is God's will for their life in Christ Jesus. That is their will. That is His will for their life. For what's going on right now, that is God's will for their life. And that's a hard point to come to. But you know who did that? You know who did that? Job did. Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't curse God. He lost everything. He lost all his family. The only thing he didn't lose is his wife. But she said, curse God and die. Just be done with it. You know what he did? He said, no, blessed be the name of the Lord. He worshiped God. He praised God. He thanked God. He did not turn his back on God. And he lost all his children and everything. And that's what God tells us that we need to do. Go with me to Ephesians 5. I'm going to show you why we should be thankful in all things, okay? Now, thank God for the health of our families. Thank God that we're not in the shoes that those other people are in. Thank God that we have a church to come to. Thank God that we're all fed. Thank God we have a place to live. I mean, there's so much to be thankful for. But here, I think I explained a little bit of this. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks for all things. Oh, excuse me. Giving thanks always. Always. For all things. Unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always. That means don't stop. Give thanks always. To who? God. And the Father. We see a separation there. God, who's all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing. Okay? He's God. But there's at times that God who deals with us as a father would deal with their children. Okay? And that's why Paul writes that separation. Because we know God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. But he's also a father. And sometimes he deals with us on that level. And you know what? He has to deal with us there so we can understand and see what's going on in our lives. We need to be thankful for all things, good and bad. And in that moment, God is going to act like a father to us and say, I'm making this decision for you and your family because of this, Dale. Bryson, I'm doing this because of this. Because at that moment, he's acting like a father. At that moment, he's got that loving, caring, tender hand. He's trying to lead you and guide you. And he's showing you, yes, I'm God Almighty. Yes, I know everything. And so does God the Father. He knows everything. He's God Almighty. But he's going to deal with us with the tenderness of a father. And if we're, well, you know what? When we're not thankful, Eric, we become unthankful. When you can learn how to become thankful in the bad times, you'll surely be thankful in the good times. Otherwise, you'll become unthankful and you'll become complainers. How do I know that? Because that's what me and my family had become. So much so that we've forgotten about God. David says, don't give me too much where I forget about thee. Yet don't give me too little where I curse thee. But give me right in the middle there. Okay? And that's what God's trying to strive to show us, is that when you have a lot in your life, it's real easy to forget God. When things are going really wonderful in your life, it's real easy not to be so thankful. And you become so complacent with forgetting how to praise God and how to thank Him that you forget all about where He's brought you from. I'm just telling you the truth. Remember where thou hast fallen and return unto thy first love. Return unto thy first love, it says, excuse me. Remember where thou hast fallen. Remember where you came from. But when you become unthankful and you become a complainer, you forget all that. You don't thank God anymore. It just becomes a habit that you do. You pray at dinner. Oh, Lord, we come to you. Thank you for this food. Bless it. And we're not even thankful. Why? Because we've forgotten how to thank God in all things, always, to God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And that will make you an unthankful person. It will make you a complainer. You'll forget where you come from, all just from stemming of not being able to thank God for all things, always. There is no turning to the left and no turning to the right on that verse. It's straight cut out. Give thanks always. Give thanks at all things. There is no in between. Okay? And he has his reasons. Okay? He'll highlight the good things in the bad. And there's something you've got to learn. There's a reason why you're going through it. Okay? Life happens. But a lot of times there's reasons why God allows us to go through those things or circumstances to come in our life. And right now, one of the hardest lessons that I have to learn is how to be a dad, how to raise my kids in the nurture and admiration of the Lord. Okay? That's different than me acting like a dad to them. He's teaching me how to be a father to my children. That's a whole different ball game. Okay? And in order for me to go through that stuff, or in order for me to learn that, he's got to put me through some things, allow things and circumstances to pop up in my life. Who else, when things are falling apart, Tim, does my family have to turn to besides God? Who else? Who did God give them? Now, what if I fail them? What do you think is going to happen there? Think my kids are going to have faith in God? You think they're going to really believe that God can take care of them? You think they're going to want to read their Bible and come to church? You think they're going to see anything in their parents? I know people, I see many, many people whose children won't even step foot in church because people act one way in church and another at home. Boy, it sounds mighty good to get up there and God is so good. God is this and God is that. And at home they're saying, I can't believe this. Well, how can we can't even trust God? He's not going to get us through anything. Can you believe it? And start kicking. It looks real good to your children. And you wonder why they don't want to be in church. Wonder why they want nothing to do with your God. Okay? It's the truth. Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Just to let you know, prayer and supplication are two different things. Philippians 4:6. Prayer is just your simple prayer, Lord, you know, this and that. Supplication is like you're begging God. Like one of the most important things to you. But that very first phrase in that 4:6 is be careful for nothing. That means there's nothing off limits that you should hold back from God. Don't be careful to ask for that thing. Ask for it. Don't be careful to tell God what's going on. Go ahead and let that go. Go ahead and open that up to Him. Be careful for nothing. What you have in your heart and you're afraid to tell God, don't be careful. Let that go. Give it to Him. Tell Him. He wants to know. Be careful for nothing. When there's something going on in your life that's bothering you and it's hurting you, don't be afraid to tell God that you may not talk to a human being. You may not want to share that with somebody, but God says, don't be careful for that thing. Bring it to me in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Bring it to Him with what? Thanksgiving? Thank you for this thing? Yeah, pray to me on this thing. Beg me on this thing with thanksgiving. That's three verses, guys, that we've seen so far of God telling us to be thankful for all things. Three. And there's more. Let me ask you this. The Bible says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to be saved. Do you believe that God can fit that camel through the eye of a needle? Now, man, what it says now, with man, it's impossible. My wife goes, well, yeah, if you grind up the camel and stick it through the eye, a little bit drips at a time, really? You're changing the whole miracle. You're changing the whole miraculousness. You're changing and taking away from the power of God when you do such stupidity. Do you believe that God can fit a camel through the eye of that needle? Do you really believe that? Let's go ahead and stop thinking with our minds. Remember, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You go, well, he's not really. He's just, no. God can make a camel go through the eye of a needle. Do you believe that or no? Do you think he can do it, Tim? Be honest. Do you think he can do it? Do you believe he can make that camel go through the eye of a needle? And you're already contemplating in your head, well, he has to. Well, no, he doesn't. God can make a camel go through the eye of a needle. If you can't believe that, then you don't think God is all-powerful. Then you're putting a limitation on what God can and can't do. Well, you know, listen, stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to tell God he has to do it this way. God, if he wants to, can put a camel through the eye of a needle with no problems whatsoever. And if you can't believe that, then you have a problem with your belief system. Because what automatically starts happening? You start putting that through your head. Well, he'd have to do this or he'd have to. No, all he'd have to do is walk that camel through the eye of that needle. That's all he has to do. Can you believe that God can put that camel through the eye of a needle? Stop going over in your head and trying to figure out how he can do it. Do you believe he can do it? Timmy said you can remove a mountain if you have faith. Well, that's just a figure of speech. Really? You don't think God can make a mountain move? You don't think he can give you that much faith? Is that your real belief? Is that you've got to sit there and try to assume things over in your head to make it feel good to you? Because you can't believe God is all-powerful enough to do that? Is that what you sit there and do? Huh? You sit there and play these games in your head because you really can't wrap your head around the belief of what God can really do. You're trying to put in there your meaning, what you think God would do, how he would do it. No, he just says this. He'll make that camel go through the eye of the needle. And then number two, he can make you remove mountains. The thing is, he would never give you that power because he knows you'd abuse it. Do you believe God can make that camel go through the eye of a needle without putting your two cents in and trying to figure out how God would do it. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. You know what his next words are? With man, it's impossible. What's the next, very next line?
With God, all things are possible.
All things. All things. That means that camel can go through the eye of that needle and that rich man can be saved. That's what that means. Go ahead and try to twist it around in your head and try to figure out. Stop doing it. Just believe God said he can do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. I can't do it. But God can. Do you have that much faith in a God that he has the power to do that? Let me just ask you this. Every molecule, atom, any of the tiniest dust particles, God has created all that. And you mean to tell me you don't think you can put a camel through the eye of a needle? He can. He sure can. Sure he can. Sure he can. Does that make sense to us? No. But he doesn't want it to make sense to you. He wants you to believe that. He wants you to have that much faith and belief in him that he can do that if he wanted to. Pills, money, drugs, sex, alcohol, none of that stuff ever could change me. But Jesus Christ stepped in my life and changed me and made me a new person. How is that even possible? It should have been human. It's right. It's humanly impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Do you believe it? I'm not trying to ask you to reconcile that thought in your head. I'm not trying to ask you to put your two cents in. I'm just saying, do you believe that God can do it? He's not asking you to understand or figure out how he could do it. Why would he say that? Is he using a comparison there? Sure, he's using a comparison. But why such a huge contrast? Why such a big thing? Because he's showing you that God can do both. He can put that camel through the eye and save a rich person. But he says it's easier to what? Save a rich, it's easier for him to get a camel through there than it is for a rich person to be saved. Ain't that something? That he said it's easier for a camel to pass through an eye of a needle?
Makes sense to me.
That's right. Because God can't do that. It is not impossible for God to do that. If you think it's impossible for God to do that, then how can you ever believe that you can get saved? How can you ever believe that Bible you think you got sitting on your lap? Tell me, okay? God's not asking you to figure that out how he can do it. He just says, I want you to believe that I can do it. Okay? That's what he's asking you. Be careful for nothing. Nothing is off limits to God. You're going to go to him. You're going to go to him as God, or you're going to go to him as your father. You're going to pray. You're going to beg him for certain things in your life or somebody else's life. And it says always, for all things. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You. And then here it says, let your prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that you can pass that camel through the eye of the needle. Thank you, Lord, that you can save a rich man. Thank you that you can save somebody like me. Lord, you know what? You're so powerful. You can pass that camel through the eye of the needle. Can you save me? Can you change my life? He sure can. Do you believe it? Let your request be made known unto God. Okay? 1 Peter. You don't have to turn if you want. I've got quite a few. 1 Peter 5:7. Ready? Now, if you don't believe God can save a rich person and put a camel through the eye of a needle, then this next verse probably won't mean too much to you. 1 Peter 5:7.
You're using the Old Testament, isn't it?
New Testament after Hebrews. Not a problem. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want you to see that word careth, E-T-H. You know, remember what I told you guys what the E-T-H means on the end of a word?
Continuing.
That's right. Something that continues to happen. Continually he cares for you. Continually he wants you. Well, why isn't he answering my prayer? How come he's not paying my bills? Because there's a reason. He cares for you so much as a father that he's got to make decisions that he knows what's best. Remember, we don't always know what's best for ourselves, okay? Proverbs says this, there's a way that will seem right unto man, but the end thereof is death, okay? That could be spiritual death or physical death. Do you know that God knows what's best for you, Tim? That's why it says he careth for you, Sam. He continually cares for you. He knows what's best for you as a father. Not only does he know what's best for you as God, but he knows what's best for you as a father who's nurturing, who's loving, who loves you, who's long-suffering, who's kind, who has to make absolute decisions for your good. We can't see that. Well, God's just not answering my prayers. God's just not. No, he is answering your prayers. Right now, it's either no, wait, hold on, and just keep waiting for me, okay? That's what he wants us to do. Do you have faith? Do you have trust? I told my wife yesterday, I said, we have about $3,500 in truck repairs that has to be done. I said, let me ask you something. Are you going to be mad at God if he doesn't pay it for us? When did he ever say he's going to pay our bills? I said, we're spiritually bankrupt right now. God's not worried about a truck. Okay? He's not worried about a truck being fixed. Okay? He's worried about what's going on spiritually in the family. Okay? But you know what? I wouldn't have never saw that if I didn't become thankful. If I didn't say to myself, Randy, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning Dale. I didn't realize, I always seen God as God. The one who always wanted to punish me, and it seemed like he was always chastening me. And so, no, he's God the Father, who loves me enough to make those decisions for me. Because nobody on earth could ever do it, Eric. Nobody on earth is brave enough to make the decisions that have to be made for me. Because he knows what's best for me, he has to make those decisions. Can you keep the faith if God doesn't answer your prayer the way you want? Do you know it's not always financial? Do you know it might not always be a deliverance? How, do we think about the spiritual anymore? Oh, I must be this or it must be that. And God's going, no. You're off track with me. This is spiritually, you're bankrupt right now, spiritually you're having problems. This is what I'm trying to get you to see. Can you see it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Okay? Seek ye first. What's he talking about being added unto me? Clothes and food. Nothing else. He promised me to fix my truck. He promises to fix my family spiritually, and then whatever he does after that's just an extra bonus. It's a bonus. Remember, God's spiritually worried about us. He'll take care of us physically. Birds don't starve. The flowers grow like they're supposed to. And he's not going to take care of me, who's his son. Of course he will. But that's not what he's always worried about. We are. Boy, it'd be nice if somebody came up to me and said, hey, you know, here's some money to go get your truck fixed. For those of you who've been to my house, I need a front door in my house. The whole front door is rotting right out. The wind blows right in my house. I need a new front door. I don't have the money for it. Thank God I have a home. It's mine. Thank God we can be sick in that house. Thank God we can cry in that house. Thank God we can pray and read the Bible in that house. Thank God we can love each other in that house. Thank God that we can be comfortable, eat food, be dressed. Thank God all of our bills are paid. Thank God that our house is clean. Thank God that we own it. Thank God that it's ours. Okay? Because my door ain't fixed. Big deal. It ain't fixed. Okay? God gave us a whole home, not just a door. That's what people get caught up on. Hey, eventually I'm going to need siding on my house and a roof and windows. But God gave me a whole house, not just a roof, siding, and windows. Okay? Are we thankful for that? Dale Morey never had a home. I got a home now. God gave it to me. That was 1 Peter 5, 7. Let's go to Matthew 21 real quick. Matthew 21. I think we got a few more minutes left.
You
do? Okay, good. I just want to get through a couple more of these real quick. Matthew 21, I want to read real quick. Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 21. And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith, and what? Doubt not. You shall not only do this which was done in the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. So was Jesus Christ lying to you right there by telling you can do this? He wasn't lying to you. But here's what I thought. Lord, I want that mountain to move. And the first thing that comes to your head, it ain't going to move. You doubted me before you even get a chance, okay? He says, if you doubt not. Okay, if you doubt not, verse 22 says, and all things, not some, not few, it says all things, whatsoever you ask shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. The problem is we don't believe God's going to take care of those things. Because he doesn't answer in our way, Eric. God's not always going to answer a prayer your way, Tim. But you know what that'll make you do? Not believe that God answered your prayer when you looked in the wrong place. Look somewhere else besides what you think. Look somewhere else besides what you how you think he's going to handle it. Look other places. Look spiritually. Look financially. Look in your family. Look somewhere else besides what you think. Lord, I need you to fix that truck. I need you to give me money. How do you know he might not answer my prayer somewhere else, doing something else? Okay? Because remember, he's God the Father. He's God the Father. He knows how to make those decisions. Okay? Do you believe him? Or do you doubt? There's a word doubt right there. Go look that up in your Bible. Let's see if we can get through this real quick. Oh, man. Job 23. You got to see Job 23. Job 23, Old Testament, right before the Book of Psalms. This is 18 verses, 17 verses, and I want to read them. So while you guys are turning, I'm going to go. Verse 1. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter, and my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. He's saying he feels abandoned from God. He can't find where he is. He don't know where he's at. He says, I wish I knew where God was so I could find him. In verse 4, it said, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with my arguments. He's telling God, I would just tell him what's going on and plead with him. Verse 5, I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he had to say unto me. He said, if I could just hear God one more time, I'd know what he has to say to me. I'd understand it, but I can't find him right now. Verse 6 says, will he plead against me with his great power? He says, no. What's the very next thing he says? But he would put strength in me. Ain't that something? I can't find God. It seems he's not hearing my prayer. He's not answering me. I can't find him. I want to hear his words. He says, will he judge me? He says, no, he'll put strength in me. He's going to put strength in me. He's going to put strength in the Vernons. He's going to put strength in Brother Randy and that stuff. He's going to put strength in you when you're going through hard times. Verse 7 says, there the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Verse 8, behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. What's he say here? But he knoweth the way that I take. Just because Job can't find God doesn't mean God doesn't know where Job's at. God knows exactly where you're at. God knows exactly where you're at. Whether you're diligently seeking him, or whether you're out there playing in the world, or whether you're out there playing religion, God knows exactly where you're at. Even if you can't find God, God knows where you are, Tim. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Okay, if you're not saved in here, God knows where you're at. And you know what? When he's done with you, you'll come forth as gold. Fine. Okay? My foot, verse 11, my foot hath held his steps. His ways have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from his commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary of food. God's word, his way, is it more to you than food? That's what he wants the word to become. Because it says that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. That has to become the most important thing in your life. Because it will take care of everything else. You understand me? When you put God first, you and your family will get the benefits of doing that. Job goes on here to say in verse 13, but he is in one mind. Who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. God's going to do what he has to do. You can't change his mind. He's not going to stop doing what he's doing in your life because it's for your good. Okay? Verse 15. Therefore I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft. Through these things, through what you're going through the things you have to go through, God's going to soften your heart. Why? And it says, the Almighty troubleth me.
He's not leaving them alone. He's striving with you. He's trying to get you to see exactly where he is with you are with him and where he is with you. He's going to make that heart soft. He's going to trouble you because he wants to open your eyes. In verse 17, he says, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. Just because you're a saved person doesn't mean you're not going to go through hard, dark times. You will. Job was a man who eschewed evil, who got up every day, read his Bible, prayed, and did sacrifices even for his kids. And what happened? The whole time, God knew exactly where Job was. And it said, just because he comes to church, just because he reads the Bible, or just because he's a Christian, doesn't mean you won't go through dark times. It's when you become thankful in those dark times, Eric. That's when the good things. You want to know how to stop being depressed? When you're going through hard times, thank God for the hard times. And it highlights the bad, or the good times. It highlights the good things that you have in life. You're a healthy young man. Did you thank God for that this morning? Did you thank God that you can run however many miles you can run? That you're not old, fat, and dude-legged, broke up? That God spared you from that garbage? And that's every one of you guys. Do you realize that God had spared you guys from that stuff? That at 46 years old, you won't have to stand here broken like I am? Do you thank God for that, Eric? You're a healthy young man who go out there and work, who has a car at your age. There's most people out there in the world who dream of having something like that. Remember that, guys. Be thankful for all things because it is the will of God. You sitting in this church today, Tim, is Jesus Christ's will for you. And that goes for all you guys that are in here. You're not here by chance. God has placed you where he's placed you for a reason, okay? Dark times are going to come. Thank God for them because it's his will. He wants to show you something. Thank you guys for listening. Appreciate it. No problem.